You're listening to a podcast from Victory. Jesus is the complete representation of God's wisdom. Learn more about this truth in week one of Unboxed.
I'm hoping that for the next 4 weeks, including Christmas, that we will all be able to continue to grow in gratitude, grow in our walk with God, and continue to worship Him deeply as we continue to know Him better through this series. And if you have your Bibles with you, please turn it with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 1 to verse 7. Let's all stand as we read God's Word together today. I'm using English Standard Version. And it says, "But there will be no gloom," say gloom, "there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea and the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen out," what kind of light?
Great light.
"Great light. And who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And you have multiplied the nations, you have increased its joy, you rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, and as they are glad when they divide the spoil for you, for the yoke of his burden and his staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, and have broken us on the day of Midian, and every boot of the tramping warrior in the battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire." Verse 6, let's all read this together. Ready, go. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. And with this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." This is the word of the Lord for us today. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this evening, for allowing us to come and once again show us from the scriptures, Lord, who you are. We want to know you better, Lord, even today as we go through this series, this season. We give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say amen, amen and amen. Go ahead and take your seats. Yesterday, I was with my wife going to the grocery store, and I saw this magazine, and I bought it immediately. Not Geo Magazine. The title is 100 Events That Change the World. 100 Events That Change the World. And I was fascinated. I love things like this, you know. Just go through it and, you know, what are those events that change the world? You know, and how did it influence many people during their time? And I looked through it and I discovered that the ministry of Jesus made an impact. And it's number 19 of the top 100. Number 19. And number 20 is Buddhism. And so I said, oh, okay. So at least they recognized what had happened. And even Islam is here. And I went through it, looked through it. And fascinating. I'm not done yet, but I've been going through it, just thinking how secular people see history and how it influences world history. And it's fascinating. Way back in the 60s, when this man went down from the stairs off from his vehicle down upon the moon, the surface of the moon, the president of the United States made a declaration, and he says, "The greatest event ever in human history just happened." What happened? What did happen? A guy from the stairs went down and stepped on the moon. Now the president is saying, that's the greatest event ever in human history. I want you to know, I beg to disagree, that is not the greatest history, the greatest event that had ever happened in human history. The greatest event that had ever happened in human history is when the Almighty God stepped out from heaven, from his comfort of heaven, and went down to earth 2,000 years ago. And that is the greatest event of human history. Come on. And we call that the incarnation. And we call that the Christmas morning. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Some of you may say, oh, but Pastor, you know, it's pagan practice, Pastor. No. It's good that Christians in history looked at all these different events in their culture and society, and they used it and turned it to something that would point people back to Christ. And I'm glad that we have a Christmas season. How many of you are glad every Christmas season? All right. Praise God. But I understand there are some who are sad during Christmas season. You know, some of you lost a family during Christmas season. Some of you, you lost a loved one. You lost, your house or something. Not even the people in the first Christmas did not enjoy Christmas at all. There were mommies who have lost their sons during the first Christmas season. Are you with me? They killed all the boys. Remember that? That was the first Christmas. But I understand that as a pastor. But I want us to know that nothing will stop us in celebrating the greatest history that ever happened in human history. And that's what we're trying to talk about for the next few weeks. And we're going to go through this. I understand the dilemma and the situation. The same culture that had happened, or the same situation that had happened in Isaiah. The people of God during that time in 747 B.C., a man by the name of Tiglath, whatever his name was, Bilasir the Third, the king of Assyria, tried to conquer, the country, the nation of the people of God, and the people were in fear, and he was about to go, and he's the king of Assyria. You know, they were well hated by the people, surrounding nations during that time. They're heartless. Every time they would get a soldier, they would torture the soldier and they would skin them alive and they'll put them under the sun for several hours. That's why Jonah hated Nineveh. Nineveh was the center of Assyria. And so you could imagine, you know, here are these soldiers, and the king was about to attack the nation of the people of God. And so they were afraid. They were in fear. They were in total darkness. And we see that in Isaiah chapter 9. They were in gloom. They were in deep darkness. Remember that? Remember that story there when we were reading the verse? And while I was reading that the other day, I couldn't help but remember the drama in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. Remember what happened in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and dark. Remember that? And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the darkness. Then verse 3 came. Thank God for verse 3. What did verse 3 say? And God said, let there be light. And light came forth. And now we see the same scenario right here in Isaiah chapter 9. Where there was gloom and deep darkness. But the light and the great light has come. And it was a prophecy by a prophet by the name of Isaiah. We're reading Isaiah, so he's a prophet. So he prophesied. And he was prophesying in the midst of a impending attack. In fact, in chapter 8, the Lord, just to emphasize the words that he was about to prophesy, he said, I want you to go to your wife, a prophetess. If you're a prophet, then your wife should be a prophetess, right? And so he go to your wife, the prophetess, and you'll have a child. And I want you to name your child Maher Shalal Hasbash. Write it down. That's very important. If you're about to have a baby, maybe you can name him Maher Shalal Hasbash. He named like he's like a terrorist, you know. Maher, come on here, son. I've even forgot how to say it. Come in here. You know, and he says, what does it mean? It means the enemy is coming and they'll take your spoil, and it'll be lightning quick when they do that. Could you imagine? Before you prophesy, you leave it out first. Could you imagine your baby? The name of the baby is the same prophecy you're going to say to the nation of God. Maher Shalal Hasbash. The enemy is going to come and they're going to take the spoil that quick. And so it was in total gloom and darkness. But he prophesied. When he prophesied, his prophecy has something to do with the solution now. But also the prophecy is something to do 700 years later after that. Because that was the time when Jesus was born. 7 years ago, he prophesied about the Messiah, which we have just read today. And we're going to look at that again. In fact, in verse 6, it talks about the supernatural nature of God. And this is what it says. It says, "For to us a child is born." A child is born. A child is born. He didn't say a son is born. But a child is born. He's talking about humanity, the humanity of the Messiah. That is, you know, and that is part of his nature. He's 100% man. That's the humiliation of God. Could you imagine God in heaven going down and become a human being? What a humiliation that had happened there. But he did it. Why? Because the next part of the verse says, "And to us a son is given." Say, "Son is given." It's talking about the deity of the Messiah. When we unwrap the deity of Christ, we unwrap and we unravel the humanity of Christ in order for us to see that he is truly the Son of God. He is we see there the deity of Christ. And we're unboxing that the supernatural nature of God is 100% man and 100% God. That's why we can be saved. Because he has without human nature. If he's like just one of us and he's a human being like us without deity, without him being God, then he won't be able to save us. How can he save us? He cannot even save himself. But thanks be to God that he is the Son to us. A son is given. Supernatural nature. Not only that, right after the verse it says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." Not only that he has planned out for us to be redeemed, he also planned out for him to reign. "And the government will be upon his shoulder." And it was magnified in verse 7. Let's look at verse 7. Let's jump those names and go straight to verse 7. "And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. For this time forth, forevermore, the seal of the Lord of hosts will do this." We see his sovereign nobility, that he is Lord. It's not just coming to redeem us, but to reign and be the Lord of lords and King of kings. And then we look back to verse 6. We continue on and we see the saving name of God. And it says here, "And his name shall be called." Now let's go through that right now. "His name shall be called." In King James, there are five names mentioned. They isolated wonderful with counselor. But in ESV, the verse we're using right now, they combined it. So they're partners. The first one is Wonderful Counselor. Next week is Mighty God. And then the next one is Everlasting Father. And the last one we'll talk about three words, Prince of Peace. Today we're going to focus on him being Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. The three attributes I'd like us to look coming from these attributes of this name called Wonderful Counselor. Number one, he's wonderful. That the God that we serve, this Messiah, is wonderful. He knows all about us. He knows all about us that right after the fall, he made a prophecy about the Messiah who is about to come. Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. Write this down. This is the gospel, first ever mention of the gospel in the Bible, in Genesis. Genesis 3:15. He knew exactly that there's going to be an enmity between you and the woman. And he prophesied the gospel right there. That's the John 3:16 of Genesis. Genesis 3:15. And why? Because he knew all about us. That we cannot afford to save ourselves. And he planned it out. That's why he's wonderful. Say wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful means amazing. That's my favorite term. Every time they have to, you know, we took a video one time in our class in leadership 412, and they have to take a video of me. So I keep on saying, amazing. This is a filler. It's more of a filler. You know, amazing. That's my favorite term at this season. You know, amazing. Amazing means wonderful. You're just, wow. It's another term for amazing. Wow. Say wow. Wow. And that's why it's wonderful. He planned it ahead of time for you. What an amazing and wonderful love he has for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're not looking for him, but he sent his son and died on the cross for us. Amazing and wonderful love he has. Amazing, wonderful nature he has. He's not just human being able to relate to us, but he's God able to save us. Amazing love, amazing birth. When he was born through a virgin, some Christians, they don't even believe in the virgin birth. How can it be? How can a virgin have a baby? And they question it. That's why we're going to talk about the Apostles' Creed next year. Okay, we're going to visit this. Our theology, systematic theology in the Christian in a Christian history. We're going to go through that next year. They can't even believe the virgin birth. If you have a hard time believing the virgin birth, why don't you go back to Genesis? God created everything. If he can create everything, why can't that happen? And yet, you know, it was a wonderful birth. He could have been born in a palace, but he was born in a manger because of the circumstance and the situation. He had a wonderful life. He came here on earth, lived 33 years of his life here on earth. He got hungry, he got angry, he got thirsty, he got sleepy. He slept. Remember, he slept while his disciples were battling against this storm. And remember that in the boat? The disciples, don't you care? Why are you asleep? You know? And Jesus, the Bible says, was asleep in a cushion. May unan po siya malambot. Sinabi sa Bible, in a cushion. Dinuduyan pa rin siya, you know? And then the disciples thought of it that you don't care for us. And so they approached him and said, Jesus, don't you care? But Jesus was asleep. He was hungry one time. He looked at the fig tree, no fruit. May you not have any more fruit. And then he left. Ibang klase pag magutom si Jesus, no? Malalaman na notice niyo pag gutom kayo, parang galit ka or something. Pag kumain ka na, wala na. Wala na nangyari, okay na. But what an amazing life that he exemplified before men, before his disciples. Wonderful death. He died on the cross. Wonderful resurrection. They send all the soldiers to keep watch of the tomb, but he got out of it victoriously. What a wonderful ascension into heaven, towards heaven. And guess what? The Bible says he's interceding for us today, praying for us. Wonderful. That's why he's wonderful. He knows all about us. Not only that he's wonderful, but he's also counselor. He's wise. Word for counsel means wise. He's, you know, he's a wise God, wise Messiah. He's a source of wisdom. We're talking about the wisdom of God. Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God means the expression of God. The expression of God's thoughts is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. We're talking about Jesus coming as the Messiah, who was the promised Messiah to save man from their sins. That's why he's wonderful, because his name is Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, she will bear a son, and you shall call him his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's why he is wonderful, because, you know, he saved his people from their sins. Jesus. Jesus is a regular name during their time. Judas is one of those regular names. Just like our regular names today, boy, you know. You know, yeah, are you a man? No, I'm boy. No, you're a man. No, I'm boy. Bohoy, you know, with an H, right? Boy with an H. And, you know, what about you? I'm also boy. You know, how old are you? 45 years old, but I'm boy. No, I'm sorry. If your name is boy, I'm sorry. I'm just making, you know, but, you know, it's normal to us, right? Boyette, you know, or Vong Vong, right? We repeat our names, right? Tintin, Vong. Alam mo yun, Vina, may H pa, Vong. And so it's a regular name we have here. But during their time, Jesus was a regular name. Judas was a regular name. But not this one. Because name is not only to identify a person, but a name would represent the character of the person. In our series, it represents the attributes of God. That's what we're going to be doing the next 4 weeks. That He will save us from our sins. Jesus basically means Jehovah saves. And so He's Jehovah saves. Jesus who saves us. That's why He's wonderful. But not only is He wonderful, He is wise. And He's someone who shows us what to do. He's a source of wisdom. In fact, in Isaiah 11 verse 2 says, He's the Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Seven spirits. Seven. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's why the fear of the Lord. If you want wisdom, there should be the fear of the Lord. And so, here's the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon Him, shall be upon Him. And He is the source of wisdom. And you know, we go through this life and we make decisions left and right. You woke up this morning and you made thousands of decisions already just today. Before you sleep, you already made hundreds of decisions. What to eat, breakfast, lunch, what to eat, where, how much. Tonight, some of you are making decisions while looking at me like this. You're making decisions. What am I going to eat? I'm hungry. Stop, preacher. and so we have all these decisions. But how many know God can direct us? Through His Word, He can direct us. He speaks. Are you listening? He speaks to us. Have you been listening? I listen to Him every day. Literally, I listen to God every day. I use my YouVersion and I click audio. And God speaks to me, but He sounded like David Heath. That's the name of the guy reading in YouVersion. You know what I'm talking about? You click it. That's why I run every morning. I spend time with my Lord and I listen to His voice. And not only that we have the Word of God, but we have the Spirit of God. He leads us. Not just, you know, sometimes big things, I ask the Holy Spirit. Small things, I do it. No. Big things or small things, we ask the Holy Spirit. He leads us. He directs us. Not only that we have the Word of God and we have the Spirit of God, we have one another. Say one another. You go through this life not by yourself, but together. We're better together. When you have issues and situations, it'd be good to have people around. This sermon you're hearing right now, this is not a sermon I made. It was made by at least 15 of us. 15 senior pastors across Metro Manila. This is the sermon you're hearing right now, whether you like it or not. Why? Because we prepare sermons together. We pray together. And so we need one another. And so this is how we can receive and be led by God and receive His wisdom. And this is how we go about it. He knows all about us. And He's able to, you know, to show us what to do. And not only that, but we, you know, it's not only wonderful and wise, but He's also willing. Say willing. Yes. He's willing. He goes with you all the way. You know, you may go through this life. You know, you may think you're all alone, but He's there with you. During times of trouble, He's there with you. You're not alone. God is there with you even in times of trouble. He's not abandoning you. He's with you. He's guiding you. He's counseling you. And there are times you may have questions that you can't find answers, but it's okay. You go through this life anyway. Who among you here, you have still questions today, you still cannot find answers. Raise your hands. You have, honestly, you have questions, you still don't know. Good. Welcome to the club. Maybe those questions you can ask when you get to heaven. Maybe you can ask God when you get there. I mean, Mary herself, she got pregnant when she was a teenager. And the angel says, "That's the Lord." Could you imagine a teenager going to his mom and says, "Mom, I'm pregnant." "Who did this?" "The Lord." How many know the parents will, what? You know? What do you mean, "the Lord"? There's only one Messiah. You mean another Messiah is coming from Kainta? And yet Mary couldn't understand. And she went and she responded back to the angel and says, "How can this be? I'm a teenager. I'm a virgin. How can this be?" And the angel explained. And Mary responded in faith. And basically says, "I surrender. I surrender my destiny and my future to the Lord." And then she started singing. And so the point is this. You may not know all the answers, but one thing is for sure. God will see you through. He'll be with you. And He's willing to be there with you. And you may be going through some situations right now in your life. God is with you. One thing about this passage of Scripture is that in the midst of darkness and ignorance, in the midst of a world that is going down the drain, there's hope. There's a prophet speaking. "Wonderful Counselor, He's coming. Mighty God, Everlasting Father." And people are already questioning whether God cares or not. And yet the prophet says, "His Everlasting Father, He cares." I can't wait for the third week and talk about Him being Everlasting Father, as a Father in heaven. And in the midst of darkness, there was a prophetic word of hope. Let me tell you, we're living in a dark world today. We're living in a dark world where, you know, AIDS, the number of AIDS is growing, even in the Philippines. I mean, in Sweden, they are legalizing pedophilia. In could you imagine the future of children in Sweden? Could you imagine the dark world we are in? But I want you to know, seasons like this will keep us, keep us intact and say, "Oh Lord, You're still in charge. The government on Your shoulder is increasing, and it's not stopping, and it's increasing all the more." There's hope, Lord, for our nation. There's hope in this life because You're around. Come on, just give a lot of praise right now. Just give Him praise. Father God, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for being with us, Lord. That Jesus Christ is our wonderful Counselor. He's the source of wisdom. We're grateful, Lord, that in the midst of ignorance, in the midst of gloom, in the midst of deep darkness, there's great light. Lord, in the midst of fear, You have prophesied through Your prophet, hope. I thank You, Lord, that the coming of Christ, every time we celebrate through going to the Christmas season, Lord, and remember what You did. What an amazing act You did. The greatest event ever happened in human history. You step out from heaven and You came down on earth to save us. And Lord, we're grateful for that. We're grateful with the reality that You did it for us. It's not a theory, but today You're still changing lives. 2,000 years later, the power of the gospel and the power of the cross is still affecting lives today. Oh Lord, we're grateful. What a wonderful Counselor You are. Leading us to a path that we continue to please God the rest of our lives. If you're here and you're saying, "Pastor, you know, I'm going through some tough times right now. I'm believing God for wisdom in some areas of my life. I'm in a valley of decision." Please pray for me. If that's you, I want to pray for you right now. Just raise your hands. We're going to pray for wisdom to come upon you in the situation you're in. Father God, You see these hands where people are in a valley of decision. Some are a matter of life and death. Some are Lord God, relational issues. And Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we recognize that you are our wonderful counselor, the source of wisdom. Lord God, you plan ahead, Lord, and you knew everything about us, and you're able to meet us wherever we are. You said in your word, if you lack wisdom, ask the Lord who gives wisdom generously. Lord, here we are, and see these men and women raising their hands, believing for a situation, Lord God, for your light to shine in their situation. And may you be glorified as they make those decisions.